This is an Out Front Tucson special report for April the 4th, 2010. I'm King David McKenzie. A succession of events has taken place this past fortnight that warrant particular attention and consideration past the 10-minute insert Out Front Tucson usually occupies within the local KXCI broadcast of This Way Out. Some of these events took place here in Tucson, and others directly involve the only openly gay member of the House of Representatives, Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts. We will hear Mr. Frank and the coverage of these events in the next half hour. These events are of particular concern to me personally, as I'm sure they are to most, if not all, members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered communities within KXCI's listening area and nationally, particularly if they recall the events leading up to the assassination of the first openly gay man elected to a major office in the United States of America, San Francisco City Supervisor Harvey Milk, in 1978. I, by coincidence, happened to again watch my own DVD copy of the film Milk a couple of weeks ago, and I also have a videotape of the documentary film The Times of Harvey Milk. And I see strong parallels between the actions of Milk's assassin, fellow San Francisco City Supervisor Dan White, leading up to that murder and the events of the last 2 weeks. At this point, I am duty-bound to remind all listening that any opinion stated on this program will be strictly that of the individual speaking and not the opinions of the management of KXCI or Overnight Productions of Los Angeles, which produces the This Way Out program. These events began on Friday, March the 19th, when a brick was thrown through the window of a district office of Representative Louise Slaughter in Niagara Falls, New York, and another brick was thrown through the window of Sedgwick County Democratic Party headquarters in Wichita, Kansas. Messages threatening the lives of Representative Slaughter's children and those of lawmakers who voted for the health reform bill were left on that office's telephone voicemail. The brick in Wichita had messages on it assailing both President Barack Obama and the health reform legislation that was at that point still awaiting a passage vote by the House of Representatives. On Saturday, March the 20th, a brick shattered the glass door of the offices of the Democratic Party in Rochester, New York. Attached to that brick was a misspelled quotation from Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater's 1964 speech in which he accepted the nomination of the Republican Party for that November's presidential election. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. On that Saturday and Sunday, March 20th and 21st, during demonstrations of so-called Tea Party enthusiasts at the U.S. Capitol, which was encouraged by Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann and other Republican legislators from a Capitol balcony, the Tea Party mob screamed homophobic slurs at Representative Frank and racist epithets at Representatives John Lewis and Andre Carson, who are African American, and Cyril Rodriguez, who is a Latino. In addition, African-American Representative Emmanuel Cleaver was spat upon by a Tea Party protester. And on the House floor, Michigan Representative Bart Stupak was shouted down by Tea Party protesters and Texas Representative Randy Neugebauer, in the latter's case with the phrase baby killer. That incident was cablecast by the C-SPAN network.
Those who are shouting out are out of order.
House Majority Whip James Clyburn of South Carolina appeared the following night on MSNBC and had this to say about these incidents, after first being asked to comment on Representative Lewis's statement that he personally had not seen this kind of hatred since the civil rights demonstrations that he had participated in during the 1960s.
I joined with John Lewis in that assessment of what we saw on Saturday, especially. I experienced some of it. I didn't hear the slurs, but the chants, the venomous comments from people, you wondered what that was all about. We're trying to have a civil debate on how to proceed into the future with health care for our citizens. I don't think there's any place for some of the stuff that we heard and the stuff that I heard about that is just doesn't should not have a place in how we go about trying to fashion legislation. And I was so sorry to hear it. I just celebrated last Monday the 50th anniversary of the march that I helped to organize down in Orangeburg, March 15th, 1960. In talking with those students on those two campuses last Monday, they asked us a lot of questions about how we felt, what we experienced. And I said to them at one point, we did a lot of things back then, so they, as students, would not ever have to go through that again. I'm not too sure now that I don't need to modify some of that.
Later on the evening of March 22nd, Representative Frank appeared on the MSNBC program of occasional This Way Out contributor Rachel Maddow and had this to say about his experiences of that weekend.
And of course, one of the discouraging things here has been not only that they are wrong, I believe, on the substance, but that's a legitimate debate. But you've seen these thuggish tactics that have been employed with encouragement from some, not all, obviously, Republican leaders. And that's a very disappointing undermining of drugs. I just got to say, Rachel, you know, in Massachusetts, they just passed a very good bill, unanimous, Democrats and Republicans, to try and prevent junior high school kids and high school kids from being bullied, from the name-calling, etc. And that's going on in a lot of places in the country. We had suicides from young people who have been bullied. What do they see, though, if they watch television over the weekend? Adults doing the same kind of bullying and Republican leaders cheering on the bullies.
Congressman Frank, you were the subject, you were the object, I guess, of a little bit of that bullying. Politico reported over the weekend that when you arrived at the House chamber, somebody yelled a homophobic slur at you.
More than one. Yeah, my partner Jim and I were walking from, it was a nice day, we walked from the one House office building to another. There was a great deal of shouting, you know, waving of fists and signs, and people sort of getting very close and yelling, and a number of the comments were homophobic.
Did you feel personally threatened, or what was your reaction to that experience?
Really sadness that, because look, and, you know, as Jim said, we're kind of adults, and, you know, this, I haven't got a lot of respect for these people, to be honest, so who cares what they say to me? But you do have to think about it. I'm serious about this. This bullying in junior high and high school, it's a big problem. Again, every Democrat, every Republican in the Massachusetts legislature voted for any bullying bill. What occurs to me is there are kids all over the country watching this, not as a game, but as real life, and watching sort of respectable so-called politicians cheering them on. And that was just discouraging that at this point in our history, we couldn't have a rational debate, but these kind of thug tactics were being used.
Shortly after the vote on that health reform measure on Sunday, March the 21st, a fist-sized rock was thrown through the front window of the offices of the Hamilton County Democratic Party in Pleasant Ridge, a suburb of Cincinnati, Ohio. As most of you in Tucson know by now, on Monday, March 22nd, the front door and glass panel were smashed out at the local offices of Representative Gabrielle Giffords. And on the night of Tuesday, March the 23rd, the family of the brother of Virginia Representative Tom Pierello had the propane gas line connected to their home cut by unknown persons. Representative Pierello had voted for the health reform bill, at which time two Virginia so-called Tea Party activists posted what they thought was Representative Pierello's home address on their blogs, sarcastically adding that readers should, quote, drop by and express your thanks, end quote, for Pierello's vote. The address posted was actually that of Pierello's older brother, whose family smelled a strong gas odor inside their home shortly before the cutting of the gas line was discovered. In the elder Pierello's mailbox was a written message threatening the congressman. When one of the bloggers was notified of their error, he responded, "Do you mean I posted his brother's address on my Facebook? Oh well, collateral damage." Also on Tuesday, the failed ex-governor of Alaska and vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin posted messages to her Twitter and Facebook pages calling on her followers to, quote, reload, unquote, in reaction to the passage of the health care legislation. On Facebook, the message was accompanied by a map of 20 Democratic-held congressional districts identified with rifle crosshair targets. Among those targeted districts were those of Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona, Tom Perriello of Virginia, and Charlie Wilson of Ohio, all victims of vandalism and or death threats and similar harassment. At this time, another congressman targeted by Palin, Harry Mitchell of Arizona, began receiving telephone messages similar to the following.
Hi, Mr. Mitchell. For the rest of your life, with the vote that you cast, you are going to have to look over your shoulder for as long as you live in this district. You are always going to have to look over your f***ing shoulder because people in your district hate your f***ing face. And don't you forget it. You have just riled up people's rage. We are filled with rage and hate today towards you. Hate like we have never, ever felt. I love my insurance company. And to have you come in between me and my f***ing doctor, I cannot tell you how much I wish a panty bomber would come in and just blow your place up.
Also at this time, phone messages were received by Representative Bart Stupak of Michigan. Stupak turned over about 50 such messages to the Capitol Police and released the following three samples to CBS News.
Congressman Stupak, you baby killing you turncoat son of a. I hope you bleed out your got cancer and die. You do not say that you're pro-life and then for a few bucks. Do turncoat and hurt the country, you. I hope you die.
You are a bastard and a baby killer. You will rue the day you did this, Mr. Stupak. You are a disgusting man, and I hope you're haunted the rest of your living days because you won't be a congressman much longer. So you are a dirtbag, and the country loathes you. And God, bastard that you are, we think you're a devil. And you will go to your grave with this on your conscience. Was it worth it, selling your soul?
Stupak, you're a low-life, baby-murdering, scumbag pile of steaming crap. You and your family are scum. You ought to fill your pockets with lead and jump in the Potomac, punk. That's what you are, Stupak. You're a piece of crap. We despise you and every punk like you, Stupak.
As this was taking place, the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle newspaper reported that Pinson, Alabama-based blogger Mike Vanderbo, a former leader in the Alabama Constitutional Militia of the 1990s, contacted them to enthusiastically claim credit for inspiring the vandalism. On her MSNBC program, Rachel Maddow read the text of the most recent message on Vanderbo's blog.
We can break their windows before we have to resort to rifles to resist their well-intentioned tyranny. These windows are not far away from where you are reading this right now. In virtually every city and county in this land, there's a local headquarters of Pelosi's party, the Democrat Party. These headquarters invariably have windows, so if you wish to send a message that Pelosi and her party cannot fail to hear, break their windows, break them now, break them and run to break again, break them under cover of night, break them in broad daylight, break them and await arrest in willful principle civil disobedience, break them with rocks, break them with slingshots, break them with baseball bats, but break them. The time has come to take your life, your liberty, and that of your children and grandchildren into your own two hands and act. It is, after all, more humane than shooting them in self-defense. And if we do a proper job, if we break the windows of hundreds, thousands of Democrat Party headquarters across this country, we might just wake up enough of them to make defending ourselves at the muzzle of a rifle unnecessary. Break their windows, break them now.
Vanderbo himself went on to make the following statement to Montgomery, Alabama television station WVTM.
We are 3% of American gun owners. That's the muzzles of 3 million rifles who can be, if required, pointed directly at the hearts of anyone who wants to be a tyrant in this country.
On Wednesday, March 24th, I personally heard a broadcast on South Tucson radio station KJLL, hosted by someone named Mike Harris, who demanded that the vandals who destroyed the windows at Representative Gifford's office come to the KJLL studios and, in Harris's words, quote, throw a brick at me, end quote. One of Harris's sponsors on that broadcast was someone identifying himself as the Millionaire Patriot, who runs a website where he offers a free Springfield Armory brand pistol in the caliber of the patron's choice. A week later, Harris broadcast over KJLL that he will celebrate the payment of his taxes this year, quote, by shooting things, end quote. KJLL program director John C. Scott confirmed to me personally that the station sells the program airtime to Harris. To my knowledge, Harris has not been reprimanded by Scott or other station management for this material being broadcast by him over their signal. Also on March the 24th, House Minority Leader John Boehner appeared on Fox News Channel to make this statement about the violence and harassment.
There are a lot of angry Americans, and they're angry over this health care bill. They're angry about the fact that the Democrats here in Washington aren't listening to them. But I've got to tell you that violence and threats are unacceptable. It is not the American way. Yes, I know there's anger, but let's take that anger and go out and register people to vote. Go volunteer on a political campaign, and let's do it the right way.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the amount of violence and anger that's out there, but it's unacceptable.
That evening, Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center appeared on MSNBC and commented on the Boehner statement.
I think that what he had to say was a day late and a dollar short. You know, I would like to know where the so-called responsible leaders of the party were, you know, when Sarah Palin claimed that the president was setting up death panels to murder our grandparents. I'd like to know where they were when Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann was suggesting that the president was setting up political re-education camps to turn our children into Marxist robots. You know, I'd like to know where they were when Steve King was suggesting that the person who flew a plane into an IRS building in Austin was essentially justified, or had the IRS been eliminated, this would never have been a problem. I mean, I just think we have heard an enormous amount of vitriol, defamatory conspiracy theories and propaganda from people who are in a position to lead and to know better. So it just seems to me these people very largely have been trying to ride the tiger of this populist rebellion, and in doing that, they've come more and more to look like the tiger.
During the same MSNBC broadcast, Representative Barney Frank returned to that network and spoke with anchorman Lawrence O'Donnell.
The Republican leadership finally decided to say no, although they still are ambivalent about it, saying, well, yes, there's anger and people aren't listening to you. Well, obviously, we are listening. What they mean is what you said early on, Ari, they lost the vote. And in a democracy, when you lose the vote, that's not a justification for violent, threatening behavior. But on Sunday morning, a couple of people violated the most basic rule of a parliamentary democracy. They began disrupting the proceedings of the House of Representatives from the gallery. Two of the officials went to throw them out. These aren't cops. These are civilian ushers. It's a very dangerous place with a very steep pitch. And sort of wrestling people who are trying to resist is not a fun thing. To my disgust, dozens of Republican members of the House stood up and egged on the protesters. Here were people violently resisting law enforcement people trying to preserve fundamental order in a parliamentary assembly, and they were being cheered on by the Republicans. I've never seen this. I've never seen the kind of vituperation that was being expressed by people outside. And obviously, people look, under the First Amendment, you have a right to be a jerk. In fact, the First Amendment protects jerks. because if you're a nice person, nobody ever tries to shut you up. So no one's talking about their legal right to behave in such a terrible fashion, although the threats and the spitting obviously go beyond that. But you had the Republicans all day Sunday cheering them on. And finally, because the political reaction was so negative, you have John Boehner denouncing it. Earlier, the reaction was to say these were isolated incidents. As I said to one friend, yeah, you know, what's 40 or 50 isolated incidents in a day? I have to say, maybe I'm luckier than some of my colleagues. I don't get death threats so much, Larry. Being gay, I get after-death threats. That is, people tell me what's going to happen to me after I die, and I'm frankly unpersuaded that they're going to have a lot to do with that. But yeah, I got an understanding of it. My partner, Jim Reddy, is a guy who is new to politics through our connection. And he, we had a weekend plan, but because of the votes, he came down to join me for the weekend and accompanied me. And, you know, I saw through his reaction, he's not used to having people yelling homophobic threats and other vicious kind of, I hate you, you should die. And it is very troubling. I guess we just kind of get used to it. And in some ways, frankly, when you're in this business, I hate to say this, I wish they hadn't done it, but it did occur to me, knowing politics as I do, knowing the American people as I think I do, at least a very large percentage of them, I knew this was going to backfire on them. I knew that the average American was going to be angry at this, especially when it was the Republicans egging it on. And let me throw in something I've talked about before. John Boehner goes to the American bankers last Wednesday, and this is part of this kind of bullying approach, and says to the bankers, don't worry, I will protect you against regulation. Not I'll make it better, not I'll try and improve the package. I'll try and kill the whole thing. I'll leave you free to do all the things that you've done before, though as bankers or other financial institutions. And then he says, referring to the people who work for us on Capitol Hill, who are very hardworking, decent people, and don't let these little punk staffers take advantage of you. You know, what struck me is the Massachusetts legislature recently passed a bill unanimously, Republicans and Democrats, to try to control bullying in junior high school and even in elementary school and in high school, because that's a serious problem when they single out people who seem to be different. Well, it doesn't do much good for us to pass anti-bullying legislation and then have young people turn on the television and see bullying tactics being egged on by the Republican leadership.
On Friday, March the 26th, rock musician turned blogger and newspaper columnist Ted Nugent was invited onto Fox News Channel for a statement relating to the health care reform legislation. This is what Nugent said at that time to program host Neil Cavuto.
You had said, Ted, that, and I think this is a recent interview, so correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm reading my notes, which is never good, but my gut tells me talk of the new American Revolution is brewing, and on November 2nd, it can be a whole new Independence Day. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, that's a piece I wrote. I do a weekly feature in the Washington Times along with the humanevents.com. In between killing pigs, I write stuff. And that's why you have me on here today, Neil, because you've had some very astute politicians on, but I am Ted Nugent, governor of Pigland. So I'm the expert on the health care bill because I kill pigs, and I just shot a monster big pig here in Texas. And seeing as how this is a pig bill created by pig bureaucrats to help out American pigs, as I approached this huge pig that looked like a beach sperm whale, I was expecting George Costanza to come out of the bushes and extract a Titleist number 3 ball from his blowhole. But as I was about to put a 10 millimeter slug in this pig's head, the last thing he said was, which is pig for where's my health care? They're pigs, Neil. We got to kill the pig. And in November, we got to vote the pigs out of office because this is a redistribution of wealth. This is the communist Mao Che agenda of the communist Mao Che fans in the White House. They're pigs, Neil.
After all of these comments, it is my personal belief, and one I am convinced I share with many of you, that two other statements be added to the record to put these events in perspective. The first is a commentary on the November 22, 1963 edition of the Huntley-Brinkley Report, the evening news program then seen on the NBC television network. For most of that afternoon, both Chet Huntley and David Brinkley had reported on the events relating to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and the shooting of Texas Governor John V. Connally in Dallas, Texas. Huntley took a few moments of that broadcast to make the following observation.
It's a logical assumption that hatred, far left, far right, political, religious, economic, or paranoid, moved the person or persons who today committed this combined act of murder and national sabotage. There is in this country, and there has been for too long, an ominous and sickening popularity of hatred. The body of the president lying at this moment in Washington is the thundering testimonial of what hatred comes to and the revolting excesses it perpetrates. Hatred is self-generating, contagious. It feeds upon itself and explodes into violence. It is no inexplicable phenomenon that there are pockets of hatred in our country, areas and communities where the disease is permitted or encouraged or given status by those who can and do influence others. You and I have heard in recent months someone say, those Kennedys ought to be shot. A well-known national magazine recently carried an article saying Chief Justice Warren should be hanged. In its own defense, it said it was only joking. But the left has been equally bad. Tonight, it might be the hope and the resolve of all of us that we've heard the last of this kind of talk, jocular or serious, for the result is tragically the same.
One would think that John C. Scott, who has been a broadcaster in Tucson for decades, would recall that Huntley broadcast and even heed the basic message that Huntley felt compelled to communicate that you just heard. One would think that, at least until Mike Harris takes the airtime Scott sells him, to call for a politically motivated terrorist to turn that terrorism against Scott's own radio station, whether jocular or serious, and advertise a website offering a free handgun to each of its patrons. The other historical message is from the address given on April 5, 1968, 42 years ago tomorrow, by the brother of the slain president, U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy, upon the occasion of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., the previous evening, 42 years ago today. Kennedy's topic was the political violence that, tragically, he himself would fall victim to exactly 2 months later.
I have saved this one opportunity, my only event of today, to speak briefly to you about the mindless menace of violence in America, which again stains our land and every one of our lives. It is not the concern of any one race. The victims of the violence are black and white, rich and poor, young and old, famous and unknown. They are, most important of all, human beings whom other human beings loved and needed. No one, no matter where he lives or what he does, can be certain who next will suffer from some senseless act of bloodshed. And yet it goes on and on and on in this country of ours. Why? What has violence ever accomplished? What has it ever created? No martyr's cause has ever been stilled by an assassin's bullet. No wrongs have ever been righted by riots and civil disorders. A sniper is only a coward, not a hero. And an uncontrolled or uncontrollable mob is only the voice of madness, not the voice of the people.
Finally, as I was writing and editing this broadcast on Friday, April the 2nd, the press services have been reporting on the threats made to 30 state governors across the United States by a group calling itself the Guardians of the Free Republics, demanding that they resign by today, the 4th of April, or face being removed, in the phrasing of the FBI's memorandum on the threats, quote, through the use, support, or facilitation of violence or illegal conduct, end quote. The Christian Science Monitor reports that the threatening group is connected to Texas-based hate talk radio host Dr. Sam Kennedy of the Republic Broadcasting Network, which operates via satellite, internet, and shortwave broadcast affiliates. at budurl.com/outfront and baronofarizona@gmail.com. I'm King David McKenzie. I thank you for listening, and I hope that you'll be joining me again next week at 4:30 p.m. Sunday, when I trust Outfront Tucson will not be as heavy of heart as today's special report. At this point, only the prayerfully less violent events of the next few days will tell. Thank you.